Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life. The goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and everything in between. We also are lucky to have on a variety of guests way smarter than we are to talk about all things healthy and not healthy in their professional journey in life. Today's guest is my friend Summer Vine, who is the founder and CEO of Anew Vision Technologies. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Anew Vision Technologies. Let me tell you right now, Summer is hysterical. We will be laughing today. It's a must. Her organization, again, is doing some really cool stuff in the community, across the country, in multiple industries. So, you know, we'd have prep call. I love having prep calls, people. Anyways, Summer Vine, let's party right into Anew Vision Technologies. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm going to read this right off the bat. If you can see it or hear it, we probably have something to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. We are an AV integrator, and most people go, what the hell is that?
Yeah,
he probably
is. Maybe.
I definitely think when we had our call, you were like, what the hell is that?
That's exactly what I said.
And I said, well, if you pretty much go into a business or a restaurant or anywhere out, and you can see it and you can hear it, we probably are connected to it in some way. We do a lot of video displays where there be huge jumbotrons in a stadium to classrooms to restaurants. You name it, and then the audio that goes with that. So, and now we're diving into a lot of new kind of immersive technologies and innovative technologies like holograms and stuff like that. So
we're going to talk about holograms because I just think it's cool. Let's start with, so the industries that you all work in, I know healthcare specifically, we'll talk about, like, what else? School systems, who are you working with? Who's a good client?
Schools, governments, and schools from K-12 to higher ed, right? And then we also work with just everyday companies, small, medium, large businesses, entities, entertainment. You know, we do a lot of stadiums and different things like that. So you name it, we work with them usually. You even have the churches and the nonprofits. Mm-hmm. We just did a really cool project for the Jacksonville Children's Chorus. I always like to give them a plug as
nonprofit. We love shout outs.
Love them. That group is doing some amazing things, and they are really trying to reach people with their messaging. They just put LED film on their windows, and it was to attract people that were sitting waiting for the bridge, right? They have a captive audience for 6 to 8 minutes. And, you know, just having their sign really didn't tell me if I was sitting there what they do and how they do it. So they wanted a way to do that. And they were going to do a static wrap on the windows. And I said, well, what about if you turned your windows into an LED, you know, monitor? And they were thinking, oh, we're going to put monitors in the window. And I said, no, it's like wrap. You can see through it. So it's in an office.
Dude, that sounds pretty sick.
Yeah, it does.
With our station cars? Like, that would be fun.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? Well, there's some power requirements. It might be a little difficult to do in a car. Okay. But what's really cool about it is they can do messaging while people are sitting, waiting for the bridge, and tell people about what they do and get people to donate and get involved, get their kids involved. So I thought, oh, my gosh, this is probably the best use of this film. Like, we can always see great things in entertainment. We're so close to Orlando and Disney, and, you know, Universal always does a lot of cool things. But to have a nonprofit be impacted so heavily with technology was really cool. And that they were able to get a donor to help them was even better, right? Because they work on tight budgets.
The nonprofit space, I mean, they're counting every penny, and it's tough unless you get a big contribution. So, an example, small business, I can see out of my window, and I want a picture of me in a thong dancing for people to see that.
Yeah.
You could do that?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
We won't do that.
I think we should do
that.
Jack Stadium on the big screen.
At
the
director's door.
Yeah, correct. All of a sudden, all of our employees resign. Yeah. Sexual harassment. That's a terrible joke.
I think what helps is the aesthetics. Think about, you know, when you wrap a window, you can still see out of it, and you still have messaging on the outside, but that message is static for a long, long period of time. Where I'm every day can change it every second, every minute of the day, and just have more impact on those people looking at it. But I still have my windows I can look out, because before it was, let's put a big monitor in the window and block our view. That's ultimately what you had to do.
So think of the Jack's Chamber building downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they should have it. I'm thinking of all these buildings.
They should
downtown,
absolutely
like
the
have Vi-Star it. Building.
The all of them. I mean, you think about it, you're constantly branding and putting a message out and creating awareness for whatever you want to do. That's super cool. I didn't know y'all did that.
Yeah. We're finding all kinds of new ways. Like, video is really taking off in the ways that you can do things. They're bending now. They're able to be flexible, where before they're just big boxes and they had to go on these big heavy metal structures. Yep. And so it's the technology's coming, and it's probably moving faster than we want it to, but some of the things coming are really, really going to be impactful.
Can we lean into some of the things that are coming soon that you can maybe tease us with?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of them are here. They're just not cost effective yet.
Okay.
And they're so new that your early adopters are still going, is that going to have the impact I wanted to? So translucent glass, just like the translucent film, right? It's now a piece of glass that I could put into this window over here that we're looking through, right? But it's translucent. I can see out, I can see in, but I can put images on it where it could look like a fish tank. And it would look like a fish tank, but I can see through it to the other side. So there's just some really neat things.
Does anyone remember in high school when they'd wheel out that TV with the VCR on it?
Oh, absolutely.
What about do you guys remember when they used to have the light box that sat on top of the piece of paper? And it would shine it up.
Oh, the projector?
Yes, the projectors.
Yes.
I would say times have changed a little bit.
So I was in school and that's what we had. We had the big light boxes and I was in the industry when you first started selling projectors, and projectors were like $10,000. Mm-hmm. They were like hundreds of pounds. I remember the first one I ever had to like travel around with in my car must have been almost as much.
I'd love to see you carrying around a projector.
It was almost as much as I weighed and, you know, it had wheels and stuff, but it was just like, that is incredible that we got down to these tiny boxes that do the same exact thing, you know, 20 years later,
that's a great point. Like you've been doing this a long time.
You've seen
a lot of changes. You're an expert in this space. I you're an entrepreneur at heart though, aren't you?
Yes, I would say so.
What do you hate about running a business?
Oh, gosh. Let me list them out.
No, you don't have to do that.
I would say probably the hardest part is more of the financial side.
Yep.
I enjoy customers. I enjoy the fun of creating new things for customers and fixing problems. I don't necessarily like the back office stuff of running a business, but I'm realizing how important that is to the front part. But I do think it changes the way I do business a little bit because I can hire good CFOs, I can hire good accountants, but I'm always looking at my business from the customer perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel
That's
like that really got lost with some of the larger companies that I worked for.
Yeah, we had talked about that. It's a tale as old as time, right? Large companies, they're there to make profits. Like, let's just be realistic, especially publicly traded companies, and you lose sight of the client. That's not what a New Vision Technologies does.
No.
So we will not mention said hospital, but a large hospital system. Mm-hmm. This is healthcare specifically. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that project you're working on? I think this is just cool.
Yeah, so healthcare is moving in a really cool direction with technology. And one of the things on my side of it is, you know, they have in the rooms for clients that are there, they have a lot of information they're trying to display to that customer. When you walk into a hospital room, what do you usually see? You see a TV for the you know, patient to watch. You see maybe even a menu board for their daily pick of what they're going to eat. You see maybe a whiteboard or a static display that's showing a lot of...
The nurses never update, I will tell you
right
now. You're supposed to update the nurse on it. It's like, this nurse was here 3 days ago, but...
Right, and like who their nurse, who their doctor is, what time they go to rehab, what time they do this, what time they're supposed to have meds. All this data that the healthcare people want to provide patients, but tend to not update it or tend to stick it on a static monitor, another static monitor. So you're just talking about a lot of peripherals in the front of a room that can also be stressful for a patient. Like, I think the mental health piece of that system is now being looked at a little bit more. And I love that some of the hospitals are trying to be very creative with how they do it. But they are trying to make kind of the front wall kind of a video wall so that everything can be kind of divvied up in its own space on that wall. But it's not so, we don't have a million devices in the room that we got to look at. And it keeps it very simple and clean. I think it causes less stress for people and easy to use, those kind of things. So they're moving to larger kind of video wall aspects to that front of that room. And we have a few hospitals here looking at that and going to be implementing it. We are in the process of one hospital now.
Installing these specific screens that I think improves the patient experience, right?
Absolutely.
So whether you're there for 3 hours or 3 days, you get it's exhausting.
Yeah. Right?
How do you make it more comfortable? And it sounds like a fancy screen might help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think too, it also helps the healthcare provider. Think about, they walk into the room and they're seeing a board that's never updated, right? You're saying that doesn't happen. Or they're seeing old information. It makes it even harder for me as the doctor or nurse to come in and, you know, count on that to be accurate. But if it's digital and I can do it straight from the nurse's station and it's doing it automatically, some of these healthcare software packages do incredible things. So if they can leverage that with the visuals for the doctor and the patient, I mean, I can only imagine how much more beneficial that is for both of them.
Who do you are you pitching this to? Hospital CEO, the financial side? Like, how are you getting in front of these hospitals? Like, who's the buyer?
Well, a couple different people are the buyer. So I think it starts with the CEO of the hospital, because they have to be on board with wanting that type of technology. And they have to be forward thinking, and they know their budgets, and they know what they can and can't do. But then
they have unlimited money. Yeah, they can buy whatever they want.
Well, yeah, I think the way we see healthcare, yes, we would say that, right? We see the bills, we see how much our insurance is paying or not paying. But yeah, I think it starts with them and their demeanor towards what they're going to do in the hospital and what's important to them, what their strategy is. And I know this one hospital has a big play on the patient experience.
Yep.
And when you care about that, that's when these things really come into play. So what's nice is that it starts with them, but it dwindles down into their IT folks and some of their construction and facilities folks, right? Because you have some things that you're retrofitting, but you also maybe have new hospitals going into place. So I think it does both. You have to kind of have an IT standard and know that this is the direction you want to go, and have IT kind of work it through its paces. And then you have to have those construction and facility people that can implement it and make it work. So that's kind of... you're kind of involved with a lot of different levels, but it starts at the top. You really have to have the buy-in from the top.
So are you involved in the process of the actual graphics and all that, or are you just, like, are you involved in that at all? From, like, what's
actually... We do content development.
Gotcha.
But a lot of the hospitals have software packages that are, here's the TV menu, here's the food menu, and then here's your healthcare menu. So they already kind of have that software that's available to them. Now it's just making sure that we can align it on the screens in the right dimensions and... give access to all the people that need it, and that wall's been divvied up for all the right pieces. But we do a lot of content development for other organizations. But a lot of times hospitals have their own marketing department, and then they also have this software department that it's kind of a standard in the hospital of what they're using for their records and the information that they are putting out on the screen. So it gets a little sensitive in healthcare. So we don't do too much, but if they came to us and said, hey, we'd like some really cool graphics and things to be going on this when, you know, the patient is not watching TV or whatever, we could do that.
Okay.
Let's use the example. So the window when you're sitting on the bridge, are you creating the stuff that goes up there? They're in-house is saying, like, all right, this week we're going to have this message on repeat. Or is your team coming in and changing that?
Both. Because sometimes people have that internal marketing and 3D, the different people that can build that content. But if they can't, we do it. But we try to just be an extension of the client. So we're not here to step on toes. People lose their jobs. That's not what we're here to just, how can we help you and better assist you to roll it out? So sometimes we're fully engaged, and sometimes it's like, hey, we just want this from you or a piece of this from you.
Where's one of the more unique places this type of technology has been installed in a hospital? Someplace you might not think it would be used.
Operating rooms.
Okay. Can you elaborate more on?
Yeah. So operating rooms. So let's talk about a hospital that I'm in the middle of surgery and the doctor needs some information from pathology. It runs to pathology. Wouldn't it be so nice if pathology could just click a button, beam right into the room,
boom,
and say,
there.
We just ran the test. This is what the outcome was.
It's a sterile
environment.
Here's
how you move forward.
You can't leave the room.
And the doctor didn't have to scrub out, leave, do anything. But also, now it's real-time information, and the doctor could ask additional questions of the pathologist.
That's pretty
sweet. You talk about cost savings.
So now you've made a huge adjustment to cost savings for the hospital, but think about anesthesia and the patient, how long they're in there, the doctor, how long they're in there. Like, there's so many benefits that start to add up, but it starts with an idea, right? Of, hey, how can we get this information faster? And I don't have to scrub out, walk all the way down three floors, come back. And now the patient's been under anesthesia for extra 45 minutes or 30 minutes. I don't know what that is. And there's just risk to that too, right? And now I got to rescrub in, and it's just
That's cool.
To make it more efficient, we could do that.
And just for like your average listener, would it be projected on this screen similar like what's right behind you, behind us?
Yeah,
just
you could project it to any type of screen.
Okay.
That way they could actually see each other. You could just do a voice call, a video conference type on Teams or Zoom. Everybody's kind of got a platform they love or are standardized on, but we just help make that happen so that it can be seamless.
Cool. I have to talk about holograms. As a kid, you remember like the little hologram video games? And I want to see one in person too, but these holograms, you did something with UNF too. So
yes.
Essentially you're recording, I'm going to butcher this. Yeah, Swoop, that's right. We love giving shout outs to UNF. I record a video of Eric and then I can be in this hologram hundreds of miles away in a box that's what, like 6 feet tall. Talk about the hologram because it's just 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
It's cool. Like
yes.
Just seeing it online. But
yes.
What is it?
It's very cool. So there's a couple different things in how it works. So I can beam you live and you can communicate with the other side, or I could do a pre-recorded message, send that, or I could take a pre-recorded message of you and turn you into an AI avatar. So there's multiple ways you can use it. If I'm a CEO and I'm having a huge sales meeting and during COVID, people from Europe could not travel over here. We could not travel over there. I'm the CEO of a large company that also has presence in the United States, but I'm over in Europe. Well, we could just beam you in and put you in the box on stage and it would look like you were there. It gives everybody the emotional feeling that you're really connected and that you're there. It's not a flat video conference call, head up. It's you're there. They can see you. They can see your movements. It's 4K.
Again,
scary.
Online,
I always am like, can we put a filter on this? Right? Because it's that clear. But I can beam you live and you can interact with people on the other end. And we are going to do one of those with Matthew Chang. I think you've had him on your show.
He was on previously. Shout out to Chang Robotics.
Yeah. Yep. Love him. And we're going to beam him to Esteem conference in Collier County for Collier County Schools, and he's going to talk to kids about robotics, and he's going to stay here in Jacksonville and we're going to beam him there, and I'm going to go there on the other end and watch him, and we're going to co-present, but I'm going to be there and he's going to be
sweet.
Here. So we do things like that. So I can beam you live, or I can say, hey, let's record you. So we just did some recordings for the mayor. She's going to pop up around the city. You guys are going to have to be surprised. I wish I could tell you what's happening with that. But we've recorded the mayor, and she is beaming herself out, and also pre-recorded messages for visitors that are coming into the city about things going on.
So at the airport.
Yeah. So we'll have some really cool stuff that she's going to be doing.
The Matt Chang example, the hologram box, it's 7 feet tall. It's not small.
No, it's to make it look like you're standing there.
So I'm saying, do you load it in a truck and drive it over there, set it up, present, and then load it back up and drive back?
Yes.
Okay.
Or people can buy them and then they sit somewhere and you just beam them. So a lot of cool things you could do. Think about this. Like if you're at UNF and we did an international class that was here visiting from somewhere else, and we actually did a pre-recorded message with the president, and he came into the class and talked, but he also had a message that he had pre-recorded to show what the technology did. But think about this. UNF now could invite instructors to instruct classes from anywhere in the world and give their
lectures
students something that they could never get unless they went to another university. And maybe it's Cambridge. Maybe it's somewhere in, I don't know, Europe, anywhere.
Yep.
And you have this someone that knows something about whatever instruction's happening, and he's a specialist, flying him in, asking him to leave his family and job for some time, and then the cost to put him up here, that gets very expensive. But if you just send him a little video kit and have him set it up in his house, he can actually, or his work, he can communicate and do that multiple times a day and it not be an inconvenience.
Trey looks like he's chuckling.
I'm dying over here. I want to be like, we should beam you in on the podcast. You just be in a remote spot.
Oh,
and we beam her in.
We could.
No, I
we
like
could.
In person better.
No, well, of course. Of course. We prefer you here in person. But that's
man,
cool
that's
concept.
A good idea.
Yeah. And is the term beaming? Like you are
Yeah, we say beaming so that it stays with that kind of hologram feel.
That's cool.
Right?
So let's go to the health ramifications of this.
Yeah.
So a physician, like you said, in Australia, that's an expert in pinky toes, can essentially look at a patient and talk to a patient in Wisconsin.
Correct.
That's
pretty sweet.
Let's use Mayo because Mayo's in our backyard, right? I am a patient of Mayo, and the specialist I need to see is all the way in Rochester. I don't have the money to go to Rochester. So now my doctor here in Jacksonville could beam in that specialist to Rochester or beam me there so he can physically see me. So the difference is telehealth is very flat. And sometimes it's just head up. We're just talking. We're communicating. Maybe I show you a boo-boo on my hand, whatever that is,
like
right?
A sniffle, yeah.
Right. But now I'm watching you walk and move around. I see some of your mannerisms, and some of those mannerisms could lead to, oh, you keep, you know, grabbing at your ear.
Yeah, your
you
posture,
keep doing
your
something that makes me think we need to run this test or do this. Like, you give the opportunity for the doctor to feel like you're right there, or the doctor to be right there with you. He's got to break some news to you that's not going to be really easy. No one wants to get that over a video conference. You know, to feel like you're in the room with each other just changes the whole experience. And I think it helps the mental health of the whole stressful situation of being in the healthcare system. So if you think about that too, and we can reach people now that can't get to a major city and hospital, they're maybe in the middle of nowhere. Put a little clinic out there, but if you need a specialist, we can beam that patient to Baptist, Mayo, UF Health. We can beam them in, and somebody can see them. And they, you know, you have an older couple that can't get into the city. They don't think this is a big deal. They let it go a long time, and now it's now progressing. You might be able to prevent them from having to come into town and be checked into a hospital if we could just get a doctor to see them. And sometimes it's about seeing them, not just talking to them
on
a
voice
call.
I mean, realistically, is this something that in 10 years could be in every hospital in the United States?
Oh, absolutely.
Shoot, it'll probably be in your iPhone someday.
Yeah. We're already shooting the video from your iPhone for the hologram machine.
Oh.
So all you need
Welcome
is your
to the future.
iPhone.
Oh, yeah, we're here.
All you need is your iPhone to do it.
I'm just trying to think of fun ways you could use that. There's a lot of fun ways. I just like to have fun, obviously. Did you do something with the money pages recently? I feel like I saw, did you do an ad? Like for marketing too, right? So you can have like live marketing content in these holograms too. Mm-hmm.
Well, so 3D Digital does a lot of content, right? And so 3D Digital and I and Alan, who owns Money Pages and 3D Digital, we have partnered on a new company called Interactix, and it is specifically for hologram, and it is specifically for digital content with a hologram. So we've created a business around that technology solely so that we can provide customers the best service. And also, you know, we've gone as far as to go to some very large NFL teams, PGA, things like that, about experiences during their events and how you can leverage the hologram technology so that I can interact with people that I may never ever get to interact with, the athletes. We did something at the Jaguar Stadium when we first started the hologram technology, and we were there for a game, and I think it was the Legends game that we were there
probably
for.
Probably a game we lost, unfortunately. I'm kidding.
Well, they did some really cool stuff. We put a lot of the Legends in the box, and they just went crazy and did a ton of messaging.
Awesome.
The cheerleaders got in the box. And I'll tell you, we put it on the club level, and I will tell you that the kids that wanted to interact with the box was incredible. And the kids got that it was live. A lot of adults would walk by it and just thought it was like a static image. And I just remember this little boy walking by, and one of the cheerleaders said something about the number on his shirt, and he realized that she could see him. He ran, and it was so funny because we were sitting back at a table just watching people interact, and he runs up to the box and he's like, "You can see me?" And she goes, "Yeah, we can see you." And he was telling everybody around. And
so
then
cool.
I think that's what brought the attention is a lot of people thought that was just static, but it was live. And so people started interacting, and the little boy ran to the side of the box and kept looking like, how did they get in there? That's how real he thought it was.
Let's hit that some more, too, in the second half. But that's, again, I think this stuff's just cool. But Summer Vine, CEO and founder of Anew Vision Technologies. That's what the hell just happened. Welcome back to the second half of What the Health Just Happened. If you missed the first half, good news is it'll be available on your favorite podcast platform underneath What the Health Just Happened. I think we have YouTube now, Trey, do we?
We officially have 76 videos on YouTube.
We backlogged all the episodes. Again, first half, Summer Vine, founder and CEO of Anew Vision Technologies. We talked about some really cool stuff they're doing. Hologram stuff, screen stuff, signage. Welcome to the future. I thought it was super cool. Healthy or not healthy. I love this segment. It's a little fun. Speed round.
You're making me nervous.
Healthy or not healthy running a business?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to say healthy for me. It's not healthy for everyone, but it's healthy for me.
Healthy or not healthy managing people?
Not healthy.
Healthy or not healthy pink jackets?
Healthy.
That's very healthy. That's going on.
I even brought my pink jacket just for you today.
Healthy or not healthy the Jack's Chamber?
Healthy.
Okay. Healthy or not healthy aerial fitness?
Healthy.
Okay, we have to talk about this.
Yeah, explain.
So aerial fitness, again, you talk about a unique human being, very successful businesswoman, doing some cool stuff. You also have another company that does...
aerial arts. So what does that mean? We fly in the air, similar to what you see at Cirque du Soleil. Awesome. So we do aerial silks, we do aerial lyra, we do hammock, we even have pole fitness. We also have a really, we have some flow classes where we teach people how to do fans and fire and all different kinds of stuff. So it's
like balls,
it's
fireballs, the twirly things?
Yeah.
Dude, you guys, we got to go do some aerial exercise. Could you imagine the three of us?
I die.
In like a silk, dude.
We're going to need our health care because we're getting burned.
I'm not even talking about the fire spinning. I'm talking about the silk things where you fly in the sky.
Yes. We do bungee too. Bungee's become very popular lately. So we do bungee fitness. So
what's that company called?
Bittersweet Studios.
And it's local? It's local.
We're right off of Southside. We're right down the street from here. So we're right off of Southside in the Tinseltown area.
Do you still?
And we've been there like... 13 years?
That's
wow.
crazy.
Yeah.
Do you still participate? Are you still doing it?
I still teach, if you can believe it or not.
Let's go.
I love it.
Dude, it's like love it, man.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. When I moved here, there was nothing here like it, right? So I just decided that I was going to, that's my hobby. That's what I love to do. So I just opened one. So we were the first aerial fitness place here, and we've been here for 13 years. I've watched 6 to 7 facilities shut down that try to start up and do their thing, mostly pole fitness, but a lot of those have opened and closed.
That was a fad for a little while.
Yeah, it was a big fad, but we still take it very seriously and we love it. It keeps people fit and it's fun. It's not, a lot of people dread going to the gym because that's just, I don't know what to do. I don't have personal instruction. Every one of our classes is personal instruction. So people can come in and get fit and they don't have to think about it. Like, think about how many days a week you're being told all day what you need to do and you got all of these responsibilities. You can just go in and someone's going to tell you what to do and you're going to feel great when you leave. People love that.
I like it.
How long's class?
Each class is an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. So we do like a 15-minute warm-up to get your body ready. And then we do about, I'm going to say 45 minutes of instruction. And you're about done at the end of the 45, and then we do a cool down. And
oh, for sure.
Do you get a lot of men that do it?
Yeah, we do have men that come
really?
In and do it. We do date nights.
Date nights are super fun.
Hey.
Let's go practice what we learned.
And it's funny because a lot of guys come in. On my date nights, it's probably my most favorite event to do is we do them every quarter, and the guys usually don't know what their wife has signed them up for. Yeah. So they come just looking around, seeing all the stuff hanging
what
from the ceiling.
Hell did you
yeah,
sign
and they're
me up
in
for?
Comfy clothes. So they think, oh, this is going to be great. This will be easy. And when they get in there and they realize what they've signed up for, because a lot of the wives won't tell them what it is, they just say, hey, we're going to go to this place and do something. A lot of them think yoga or something like
Pilates,
not very strenuous. But I will tell you, almost every single time, we are pulling the guys off the equipment. And the women,
because
at the end, we have a little area where we, you know, have some drinks and food and just like hang out before, and then they can go to dinner or whatever. So we'll do that right at the end and we'll be over there. And the wives are just like, we're never going to get them out
that
of here.
That sounds like,
that's hilarious.
Get off this thing.
Yeah.
So this is a funny one. I went to a Pure Bar class. I like to like try different things. It was like the most humbling exercise. This would be another one of those things where you're just like, well, I could do that. And then you 15 minutes in, you're out of breath. And
what I did at Pure Bar. I was like, oh, 5-8 pounds, that'd be fine.
Oh,
and then
my
halfway
God.
Through, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah,
dude.
Because you have to sustain that for a long period of time or whatnot. Yeah, so this is your body weight.
You're like,
so
oh, no.
I swear you told a story a while. So very active in the chamber, right?
Very like, active in the chamber.
What are you doing
Love
with the chamber?
The chamber.
And then you told a story once where I think you were doing a show and you saw Daniel Davis or someone while you were performing.
I don't even think he realized it was me. Thank goodness. Because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to explain this because I didn't know if he knew about my other business. So it's a funny story. We are at a big event. Lenny Curry's there. Daniel's there. A lot of people I know and work with every day. And I'm filling in for one of my aerialists because they got sick. And it's for a major event in town. And we are there. I go up in the air and it's a two-story building. And I'm all the way up at the ceiling so I can see down into that upper area. And I look over and I'm about to do a drop. And I see Daniel Davis and Lenny Curry and a bunch of other people I know kind of looking at me. And I noticed Daniel kind of look at me like he might know me. And I was like, ah! And I just did the drop, got to the bottom and said to my other aerialist, you take over for here. I'm going to take a break. And I went and hid because I was worried that he recognized me. And I wasn't sure how I was going to explain that because a lot of people don't know that that's my hobby and something I love to do or that I own that studio. And I don't think he knew that at the time, but he never said anything to me, so I don't think he knew it was me, but it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Later, I always tell the story is like, sometimes I'm at an event, I don't really do events anymore just because I'm so busy with my business.
Yeah,
I'm also old, guys. Like I'm old, too old to be doing it. And I have a lot of younger people that are so much better than me. So I don't do it that much. I will try to fill in if I have to, but it's just funny because when I'm at events, either I'm sometimes in the air or I am at an event and my people are there as entertainment because I have a whole entertainment side of my business that comes in and does that for large events.
That's pretty cool.
What kind of businesses are hiring you for that kind of performance?
So
names, just curious of the industries.
So healthcare companies, large companies for their Christmas parties, sales things. We just did one. We've done a couple events at the Hyatt. We also get hired by private individuals. We just did an Atlantic beach. It was a beautiful house and they had a ton of entertainment there. And it was just a Christmas party for their friends, but it was definitely, you know, somebody that went all out for their parties.
That's awesome.
I'm bummed I didn't get the invite to that.
Yeah, but we do a lot for PRI and Mugwump different production companies. They call us and say, hey, we need a dancer. We need an aerialist. We need a champagne dress. We need a lollipop
performer. What is a champagne dress?
So it's a kind of metal frame, but it looks like a dress, but it holds champagne. And she walks around the room and it's all attached, but it's like a big bell dress,
It
has champagne hanging
out. Like someone's wearing this and walking around.
And then champagne, so they can just reach down on your skirt and grab.
Healthy.
So where do you go to get like the inspiration for ideas like that?
Well, we have a kind of a costume designer. So we just did for an event this weekend, we did a snow princess on stilts. And my understanding is she was more popular than the Santa person that was there.
Sorry, Santa.
Sometimes we outshine some of the other things, so you have to be careful how
you... Can you believe this ice skater? I'm Santa Claus.
Yeah, but we had this beautiful ice princess on stilts, and of course she's huge. She's got huge Isis wings and headdress. And
where was this?
It was phenomenal. Downtown. It was at a...
You guys got to have me come out and film some of these performances.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My kids do it, too. Yeah. My daughter would love
we
that.
We do a lot of those. So I know New Year's, we're booked. We have three locations we're going to be at for Gate. We're going to be at, you know, Epping, River Club, and Pontevedra Inn and Club. And, you know, they put on their parties, so they want to have some really cool entertainment. So you name it, we do it. And you could call us and say, I got an idea and I don't know how to do this. We'll probably figure it out for you.
I'm cracking up because you're here to talk about a new vision.
I know. And everybody's like, let's go to the studio and hang out.
we'll go back to the tech side.
But healthy.
Healthy, right? For sure. Hashtag healthy.
Healthy.
For sure healthy. Back to New Vision Technologies, actually. So you have this on the website. So woman owns, is it Native American or American Indian? What's the right way to say that?
I don't know if there's a politically correct way, but I always say Native American because most people don't say American Indian. Usually they say Native American.
So that's your background. I think like you say that
I have
proudly.
An Indian card. I'm part of a tribe, the Potawatomi tribe. Yep.
Whoa.
And my daughter is part of the tribe.
Let's go.
Was it based out of Arizona? Because you moved here from Arizona.
Nope. My tribe is actually out of Oklahoma.
Really?
And I was born and raised in the panhandle of Texas.
I want to do one of those 23andMe's because I was told my great-grandmother was 50% Native American. I've never looked into it.
Oh, there's so many benefits to it if you actually go back and do the research. During COVID, my Indian tribe was very gracious with giving us money for extra things that were needed during COVID. They helped pay for all the tribes, like extra air conditioning and heating that happened, you know, because you're stuck at home now, right? So there was some things that were difficult for families, I think, on the tribal community areas. But if you're part of the tribe, everybody gets benefits. So my daughter, some of her college stuff got paid for by the tribe. If, you know, she submits her grades, they'll reimburse her. If she's, you know, doing well, they paid for her computer during COVID when she was stuck and had to do all her studies at home. So there's a lot of benefits to it. And it's powerful to be able to say, I'm Native American and, you know, I've been successful. I think it's a great story for people that feel like they kind of they get a bad rap, right? They live on the reservations and they're not going to go anywhere and they're not going to do anything, you know? And I hate when people are usually shocked when I say I'm Native American.
Were you born and raised on a reservation?
No.
No,
very close to my reservation, but not on the reservation.
Okay.
That's cool. Every guest, right, we do a prep call. Prep calls are nice because then I get notes. I'm like, we're going to talk about barely any of this stuff. So then I go on LinkedIn and websites and scour the stuff. You're a businesswoman. You're a great leader. I think you're an inspiration to a lot of people. What is one of the most, we talked about the business side. Have you ever had to fire someone?
Oh, gosh. Like a customer? Because I think that's more exciting. Like everybody has to fire an employee. So I have had to fire a customer, and it's a funny story. I didn't want to do it. I was being kind of forced to do it. I did want to fire them, but I didn't want to go do it, right?
You wanted someone else to do it. Yeah.
Really? Yeah, but, you know, I'm the leader, so I have to go do it, right? And I take, you know, my employee with me. We go to fire the customer, and it was just really like, hey, we want to have continued good relations with you down the road. And we don't want this to end on a bad note. And I want you to be able to go do business with someone that's going to give you what you want because it seems you're not happy. You know, you're very upset with us daily. You're sending us emails and we're trying to accommodate you, but maybe we just aren't the right partners for each other. And he was kind of stunned. He said, why would you think that? And started acting like there was no issues when he was a pretty negatively jabbing at us through email and talking to just always negative. And I just thought, gosh, we're never going to make him happy. Maybe it's because he just wants a new partner and we just need to give him that out. And when I did, it didn't work.
He stuck
around. We left there and my rep in the parking lot goes, so that was weird. We tried to fire him and he wouldn't let us. And he goes, now what are we going to do? And I looked at him and I go, I have no idea. I said, I need to think about this one. And all the way back to the office, I thought about it. And then within, I don't know, a week, he became our best customer.
I was going to say, what happened after you had that conversation?
I was like,
all right.
So I think we just put into check that, hey, we don't want to force you to do business with us if you're unhappy. But like the way you're treating us is not working. And we're, you know, we want to make you happy. But if you're not going to be happy, go find someone that will. And I think it was kind of a wake up call for him that, hey, he thought he was motivating us by being mean and rude and, you know, kind of jabbing at us. And we were just like, that is not motivating. I think once we said that and conveyed that message, it changed the relationship and he became one of our best customers.
Trey, you ever fire customers?
I am now to a point in my business where I can, and there's a couple that are on the chopping block for sure.
Are we on the list, dude? Oh, man.
No, wow. Not you guys. Others.
Oh, that's hysterical.
I won't name names.
Holy crap, I forgot what I was just going to ask. It was about business. You know what I was going to ask?
Well, I just wanted to know in regards to how big is your business? And it is based here in Jacksonville, correct?
It is. Our headquarters is here in Jacksonville.
How many
and then
staff?
We have a satellite office in Tampa.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so we do a lot in Tampa and we do a lot here in Jacksonville and we do a little bit in Orlando. That's kind of our main focus, is kind of central up. But our headquarters is here.
And
I love asking this too. Like, who's an ideal client that you don't have? Like, ooh. I would love to work with X, Y, and Z.
That we don't have.
Some people don't think about that sometimes.
Yeah, I kind of am running at the speed of light all the time. I never sit back and I'm like, who do I want to go after? I just really hope, I think, for the future that we get to be a part of the Jack Stadium. I think that would be very cool.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
I'm about innovation. I'm building an innovation center here, hopefully to be done in March.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Yeah, to showcase what people could be capable of doing in their buildings. And it would be really nice. I just know that a lot of times in those bigger construction jobs, it's harder for them to pick. We're JSEB. And a DBE, but, you know, they say they want that, but sometimes it comes down to, we don't get selected because they don't think we can handle it, or
what is
or
JSEB?
A bigger relationship is there.
Gotcha.
Gregory Grant, shout out to him. He runs JSEB.
He is amazing.
What does it stand for? We've been going back and forth on schedules. I got to get him on here to talk about that program, but what does JSEB stand for? It's like Jacksonville Small.
It's Jacksonville Economic.
Builders, I don't know. It supports small businesses to win contracts in the city.
Oh, let's go.
Again, when the Jaguars are building the stadium, they want to get small businesses from the community involved in it, and there's a process to go through the JSEB program. Gregory Grant's a good dude for sure.
Well, I will tell you, the business has been crazy. We are going to be at $30 million this year.
What were you 5 years ago?
Nothing.
Zero?
Zero. All right, this is our 5-year anniversary.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah, we'll clap for that. Yeah, Hashtag healthy.
Shit, yeah. I need my video company to do that.
So,
is it possible to grow too big too fast?
Yes.
I mean, I've seen that happen a couple other companies.
Yes.
Do you feel like you're at that point?
No, because we've turned away jobs to not.
That was my next question.
We've turned away jobs that were going to put us in not such great situations where all our resources would be in one place. The first PO I was going to get, I turned away. It was for the University of Tampa, and it was for a new building that I had already quoted, designed with another company, and we ended up walking away from it because we knew all of our resources were going to be in that bucket. And it also kind of helped the university as well, because we had been doing so much of their business, other people felt like they weren't getting opportunities. So what's nice is they gave the opportunity to this vendor, and the vendor can't even come on campus anymore. So it worked out in our favor, right? So
we talked about this too on the call yesterday, about really putting people and your clients first. And it happens all the time in businesses where profits over people. How do you switch that to people over profits, right? So talk about why it's so important to you, client, customer centric.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of the companies I worked for, it was all about the spreadsheets, the bottom line, and it didn't really matter what the conversation was with the customer. We're not doing that. It doesn't make sense for us. And I always feel like if it's not that difficult and it's still outside your wheelhouse, figure it out, because in the end, it will affect the profits, and it also affects the long-term relationship where you're now wrapping your arms around them and you're getting everything.
Yep.
You kind of turn away that customer-centric piece, and they're going to start dabbling with other people. You're going to start losing business, and that affects that profit and bottom line. I tend to not think about the profit on any job that I do. If you ask me what the margin is on a quote I sent out 2 hours ago, I couldn't tell you. I don't look. Why? Because it doesn't matter to me. As long as I can give the customers what they need and I can win that job, I'm going to be profitable because I'm trying to keep my company. I also don't have a million layers. A lot of companies will have 15 VPs, and then there's directors underneath that. And I just don't believe in that, because I've been under those management teams. And it's just like, I got to go up 3 levels to just know that I can quote this job. This is insane. And then it's a week later and they're not agile. They're not making decisions.
Yep.
There's no empowerment in their employees either. And I empower my guys a lot, and they still will come to me and go, I just want to talk to you about this. And I'm like, what do you think we should do? And they all go, I think we should do this. And I said, do it.
I love it.
And I just think that more of that is what we're built on. So it makes it, we're growing faster, we're stronger. and I'm not sitting watching a spreadsheet because I feel like that takes away from everything that you're trying to do with clients.
How do you determine when you hire more employees? Is it based like, hey, oh, we just got a big contract with Hospital X. We need to hire three more people. Like, how are you determining when to bring people on board?
Well, I mean, I have to look at the financial side a little bit and go to my CFO and say, hey, this is what I want to do. But I'm looking at, are we giving every customer all of our resources that they need for that job? Because I think you can take on more and you're just putting more pressure on a lot more people, but service is going to slide. So just making sure that that doesn't happen. Like, we have a project manager for every job. How many projects is one project manager running? Is that too much? Do we need to add another one? So, and a lot of times I talk to people. I'll call my project manager and say, how are you feeling? How late are you working? Because I see you on at midnight. Why are you on at midnight? And she's a workaholic anyway. Yeah. So she tells me that, but I'm just like, do you need help? Do you need assistance? Like, that's sometimes just talking to your people and making them not feel like they have to take that on, and that, hey, is it time? Do we need another person? And that's kind of how I gauge right now. We're small enough to do that. I think it gets harder as we get bigger, but.
What, so like, let's say UNF's across the street, UNF student, how do they get into your industry, or what kind of degree are they getting to then?
Gosh, I wish there was a program, and there isn't. And I've been talking to some of these higher ed entities to do that. I will tell you, last year, I hired high school kids that were not going to be able to go to college. Either they couldn't afford it or they did not want to go to college, but they wanted a career. I took on three of them and they're all still with me.
Hell yeah.
And we've trained them.
Yeah.
That's so, again, higher education. There are more and more YouTube University. You can learn anything you want online. But I was curious if there's a specific degree program that.
No,
you don't.
Any of our programming, any of our designing, there's no college that has the curriculum for it. It's all learned because it's manufacturer based. Keep that in mind. We have control companies that build the control for all of these devices, but you learn it from those companies. So it's about taking people in, allowing them to go learn. And it's not like a, you know, you could go to, I guess, to a broadcast school, but it's still not going to teach you, you know, Full Sail or something like that. It's still not going to teach you all the things you need to know to be a tech in the field and to be a PM in the field, to be a, you know, a lead one tech or, you know, a site manager. It's not going to teach you any of those things specifically. You're going to get some skills that will cross over, but it's really on the job training and taking people in and putting them under your wing and hoping they stay.
We got about 1 minute left here. You got any shout outs? We love shout outs.
Shout outs. Ooh. Well, I did Jacksonville Children's Chorus. Love them. Donate. They need all the help they can get. Matthew Chang.
Chang Robotics.
Chang and I got some really fun stuff coming that we're going to have to tell you about.
We'll do an episode on it.
Yeah, it's going to be different than anything we've ever done before.
Okay.
For the city. And I think the city's going to get involved. I know Gregory at JSEB's like, I'm in. Let's do this.
Are you going to that meeting Tuesday of next week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll be there for that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So something new on that. I'll make sure
we
you guys
love
can
mystery.
Line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, and then Gregory at JSEB is amazing. And I think we're doing some amazing things with the city of Jacksonville and just some of the different things that they're doing to be innovative, which is just a breath of fresh air, honestly.
Long overdue.
Yeah. Yep. So congrats to Donna for taking that on. And then I just want to really give a shout out to everyone in my organization because they've been amazing. We just had our Christmas party and I let them know what we build. And I think there was a little shock in the room. Everybody was like, really? Wow.
Did you do an aerial presentation?
No, I didn't. I know I'm trying to figure out we are doing the gala for UF Health.
Ooh.
And, we're going to be doing some fun stuff there, and I can't decide if I'm going to the event as an attendee or if I should show up and do a little performance for all my friends at UFL. So I'm in the middle of deciding that now, but either way, it'll be fun.
Thank you for joining us. Summer Vine, CEO and founder of A New Vision Technologies. Incredible human being. That's what the hell just happened.